Brett Kern, who is on the line with us. And Brett, we haven't gotten to talk about this a lot. So Titans get a win. How do you think that locker room's feeling today?
Yeah, probably pretty good. Hopefully, you know, it's a victory Monday, and guys just have to come in, kind of watch film on their own, meet with their position coaches, you know, get a lift in. So it's probably a huge relief, you know, especially when you go a while without a W to get one. And, you know, really probably to play, probably their most complete game of the year. But, you know, I mean, it worked and it got the win. And so I know when that line came out at 37.5, I was like, man, if there's ever a time I was ever going to place a bet on football, this would be it, to take the under. Somehow Vegas just knows. And so, but it was a gritty win, a good win. And, you know, I like to think, you know, just watching that first possession, you know, guys are, you know, you talk about the tanking and guys not trying and all that kind of garbage. There's no such thing as tanking with players, because if you tank as a player, you're going to lose your job. And if you're an owner and you tell your coach to tank so you can get a draft pick, you don't deserve to be an owner. That's disrespectful. That's not fair to the fans. That's not fair to the players. And I just don't feel like you deserve to be an owner in that situation. But to see, you know, 3rd and 12, Mason run, you know, on the opening series, Mason run and point to Pollard to make a block, and Pollard sacrifices his body to get that first down on the first possession. That's a testament to Tony. That's a testament, I think, to the team that they're not giving up. Nobody's giving up, and they want to win.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you kind of shared with us your little cheat sheet that you have, and it was pretty good this week for the Titans, and the first time that it's been that way, correct?
Yes, first time. They pulled it out 3-0, right? You know, Mason with 90.5 QBR, and, you know, to Drake. Drake Mays, 69.8. So they got the one there. They rushed the ball, you know, 167 yards for the Titans, and Pollard going for 128. And then, you know, the Patriots rushing for 110, 95 of that being from May, right? The two biggest plays they gave up as a defense was a 26-yard and a 22-yard run by May, which, you know, I could tell there were times where, you know, when they were running games up front, that they were leaving, you know, that middle wide open for him to run. And then all of a sudden you could tell, you know, Denard was like, okay, hey, we're going to start running these things, right? We got to start twisting towards the inside. And Big Jeff, I thought, played great, you know, just really as a D line, as an interior, you know, forcing those holding penalties and stuff like that. And then obviously for the first time, Titans winning the turnover battle, you know, Patriots had three and, Titans only had one. Granted, you know, there was a fumble by Jackson late in that fourth quarter on that kickoff, and obviously the overtime fumble. So I think they tried to at least tie up the turnover margin, but you know, obviously they're able to win all three of those categories, and that led to a victory.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe show. And Brett, we've seen in the last couple of years coaches let their emotions come out a little bit, and Brian Callahan was really emotional after the game yesterday. You've been in that locker room, you've been in the week of practice, you've been on losing streaks that ended, you know, on a Sunday with a big win. What's that like? I mean, when you see a coach come out and be emotional like that?
I mean, I love to see it. I think people just don't necessarily realize the amount of time and effort and preparation that is put into every game, every week. You know, a lot of those coaches have blow up mattresses that they keep in their office, right? And so, you know, they're breaking down film Monday, Tuesday, you know, installing Wednesday, Thursday. You know, Friday comes around, and, you know, as players, you get that, you know, you get Fast Friday, right? You're out the door by 1-2 o'clock. But some of those coaches are still there till 7-8 o'clock, breaking down film for the next week, right, to get a head start on the next week. And so there's so much time, there's so much effort into preparation that goes into every week. And for it to pay off in a victory is an unbelievable feeling. And so when you start, you know, having those losses and you're preparing and you're not seeing, you know, kind of the preparation that you're putting into trying to get a victory, to finally get one, I mean, yeah, I don't blame him for being emotional. That shows where he's at, shows where his heart is at, and just how bad he wants to get a win.
This franchise, Brett, has not done well on the West Coast, and you were part of some teams that won a few games there and then lost a lot of games there. Why has that been so? I mean, I know you can't speak to back when they were the Oilers, but since it became here, it's been really difficult for the team. I mean, they played the Chargers on Sunday out there.
I don't know. I mean, it's different. I think every team does it differently too. Like, some teams will go out Thursday, right, and kind of get used to the West Coast time. Some will just go out. I remember one year we went out to San Diego, and we just stayed on, like, we tried to go to West Coast time. It's hard to explain. Like, if we had a team meeting here at 8 o'clock, right, we went out there and the team meeting was at 8 o'clock, but that's 10 o'clock Central time. So I remember being out there and it's, you know, you feel like it's 10 o'clock after a long flight and you're just exhausted. And then you have to get up the next day and obviously play a game. And so I think there's different ways of how teams approach trying to handle the West Coast. You know, you could go out there earlier in the week just to get acclimated, so you're staying on that time. You know, some will go out early on Saturday and just stay on Central time. And so, like, your team meeting, if your team meeting is here in Nashville at 8 o'clock, all of a sudden your team meeting is now, you know, in LA at 6 o'clock. And then you say, hey, look, guys, you know, curfew's normally 11, curfew's now at 9. Like, let's just stay on Central time. So it's not easy. I think a lot too depends on kind of the game that you had the week before. You know, was it a gritty game? Was it, you know, was it an easy win? Was it a hard, you know, there's just a lot of factors that go into it. But anytime you're going out West Coast, it's a long flight. You know, you got to prepare for it. And it's just difficult. But, you know, it's, I think the Titans can pull it off. So
former Titans punter Brett Kern is on the line with us. How do you think yesterday changes the approach that Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker have with the trade deadline tomorrow? Or, you know, if they feel like that there's a move there that's going to help this team both in the now and the future, they ultimately will look at it.
I mean, if their goal is to acquire draft picks, why not do something, right? If you feel like what you're getting for what you're getting rid of is worth it as far as capital in the draft. So obviously you've already gotten, you know, you've made a couple trades, which happens, but do you feel like if you make another one, you're going to get the value that you need to help build this team moving forward? Because like I said, this is still a competitive team. The record obviously says otherwise, but to me, watching them on tape, you know, watching them play, like, they're still a competitive team. Like, that defense is playing extremely, extremely well. Like, they're playing hard, and I think the offense is just, they're not at the point. I mean, you look at that opening drive yesterday, they go 8 plays, 75 yards, no penalties, touchdown. You're like, this is great, right? But then all of a sudden, the next five possessions that you have, three of them are kind of riddled with penalties, and then you have a red zone interception, right? And then, you know, at the end of the half, you kind of get a gift from the punter, just, you know, shanking one, and you get the ball at the 48-yard line, and you have two timeouts, and, you know, you don't get points out of it. And so, you know, you feel like they're close, but a lot of things need to go their way. And so you look at the drive in overtime, great drive. You know, obviously you probably wish that you could have gotten a touchdown. You're going that far, but they got a field goal. There was no penalties, and it was kind of very similar to that opening drive. And so I think it's there. It's just the consistency of it, right, is just not there yet. And so hopefully, too, with injuries, you know, Diggs and, you know, Cushenberry, hopefully they're not serious. But obviously for them not to come back, that could be two pieces that are pretty big of a loss.
Brett, the opening kickoff, Titans get a flag for illegal formation. How does that happen?
I'm wondering if we were going to talk about special teams. I mean, geez,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know. I know there's people that probably want Cole Anderson fired. Like I said last week, like, what, you know, up top, what they invest into special teams, you know, is kind of what you're going to get. Like I said, I personally, the 3 years that I went to the Pro Bowl, I don't think I make the Pro Bowl if I don't have the guys, the dogs that are in front of me, the Wesley Woodyards, the Bates, the Trey Wicks, right? I just don't think I go, right? I mean, I had a good season. I hit the ball well, which was great. So complimentary of each other. Like you look at yesterday, the return that they gave up. First of all, I thought Stoney was just going to hit a touchback because he had the wind at his back. Like, just hit a touchback. You don't have to cover it. But, you know, it was a low hang punt, right? But the gunners are singled, right? So they're not doubled. So they're singled. So they should, in theory, you should win the one-on-one matchup, right? Because if that punt was, let's say it was, you know, a 4 or 5 hang time, that's probably going to be a fair catch. But it wasn't. So, like, complementing each other is just, it's just not happening right now in special teams. And then they go down there, they cast the net, which is what you want. You want your interior to not all be on the same level. You're picturing you're throwing a net out, you know, you're going fishing, right? You cast that net, they had the net cast, but of course they're going against Marcus Jones, who was a he was an all pro his rookie year, and he's averaging 15 yards of return. So like, he's legit, right? And he gets outside, and you know, poor Luke Gifford trips up on the coconut turf, and then the net is now just dissolved, right? It's done. He was the edge of the net. He trips, he falls. So now he's outside. So now it's pretty much becomes him against your guys' open field tackling, which is not easy on a returner like that. So I just think you could say, hey, you know what? Cole Anderson, he should be fired. You know, special teams is terrible. They have 11 special teams penalties. But you look like Dallas has 16, and that's Bones. Bones is a 19-year special teams coach, right? Dallas has 16. They lead the league. Vegas has 12. Tom McMahon, 18 years, right? He's the one that helped Pat McAfee and Indy. That's solid special teams. Bones has had solid special teams, especially when he was in L.A. and he had Hecker and those guys, right? So you have two veteran special teams head coaches that lead the league in special teams penalties, right? And so it's not, to me, yeah, could it be Colt? Could it be some of the things that they're doing in practice? Yeah, maybe. I'm not there. I'm not watching practice, right? But you have a very young special teams group, and so they're learning. They're trying to figure it out, right? In the years that we were really dominant on special teams, we had a couple young guys, but we also had guys that were 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and they were teaching the younger guys what to do. Here are the tricks of the trade. Hey, if a guy's, you know, in this stance, expect this kind of rush on punt, or all those little things. And so I think this year it's just you have a first-year coordinator with a lot of young guys, and I don't necessarily know if the Titans have really invested heavily in, like, core guys, guys that are in your core four, your core special teams. And so I think there's just a lot of growing pains that comes with that.
Going to be interesting to see how they handle the trade deadline and everything this week. But appreciate the time as always, Brett. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joins us on the program every Monday at 10. It's Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.